This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
What good Friday morning, everybody. Yep, it's Friday, and I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I am Lisa Wysocki from Ashland City, Tennessee, and you are listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for January 19, episode 1856. This episode is brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products. Good morning, Horse World.
Hey, Horse World, it's Friday.
When I get off of work on Friday.
Everybody's favorite day of the week on Horses in the Morning.
Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. Jamie is out today. She is traveling a bit, so she has the day off. So we have Lisa here. Lisa, every time you come on the show, I think you're from a different place.
I am. I'm. Yeah, so I'm just in the middle of moving, and it's been a long process, but right now I'm sleeping in the office in the barn for a few days, and life is good.
So basically you're homeless at this point.
I'm homeless. Happily homeless.
But you sold your house. You wanted to do that.
My house sold, Glenn, in like 10 hours, and I had multiple offers above asking. So,
Well, you can't complain about that.
No, I'm not complaining. It just went quicker than I had thought.
It closed very quickly, actually.
Yes, yeah. Yes, we closed. It sold quickly, we sold quickly, and I closed quickly, and I'm like, Well, I have a barn. It's great. I'm in the barn, so it's fabulous.
Yeah, it's where every horsewoman wants to live anyway.
Well, exactly.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, away from their husband, and in the barn is where they all want to live.
And I say that it's a nice office. It has a kitchenette. It's a big office. It's it's not like I'm sleeping amongst the straw bales.
Yeah, you couldn't have picked a colder time in Tennessee to do that, though.
No, we've been out of school since last Friday. I think, listeners might remember why I was having maybe a little sound problems because we were in the middle of an ice storm. School hasn't opened since then, and the roads are still kind of iffy. And, here's rural Tennessee, and on the side roads, we had snow and ice Friday, and then we had snow and ice again like Monday night, Tuesday. And the snowplow showed up in front of our road yesterday.
Well, they have one in the state. Takes a while to get there.
Yeah. I think we have more than one. Alabama, I think, has one. I got stuck on the freeway in Alabama. And that's a story we'll save for another time because it's a little longer. But
I talked to a guy last night from Louisiana who said the alligators are freezing. They're alligator sickles at this point. It's that cold in Louisiana.
It was colder here, I think, in the Mid-South than it was in Alaska last week. That says something.
Yeah, we've been in the low 20s every morning here in Ocala. So,
I have friends from Minnesota here. I have friends from Minnesota who went to, I think they're in Orlando, and vacationing from Minnesota, and it was colder in Orlando than it was in Minnesota.
Let me put it this way. I wouldn't want to ride a roller coaster when it's about 30 degrees at Disney. That'd be chilly.
No. That'd be really cold. Not fun.
Well, if you want something to do in the fall and you feel like volunteering, they are finally getting around to talking about the volunteerism at the WEG for September in Tryon. Apparently, they're going to need about 3,500 volunteers. I remember we had about 3,000 in Kentucky in 2010.
Yeah.
Jennifer, they had the volunteer coordinator by the name of Catherine McMahon. McMahon? Something like that. She was on
It's McMahon, just like Johnny Carson.
Okay. Yep. Well, she was on the venting show, which will be coming out today. They're looking for people 18 years or older. You don't have any horse experience or knowledge because they have something for everyone. Now, I think there were some disappointed volunteers. They were terrific, by the way, in 2010. They were the most helpful group ever. I mean,
we were
there, Samantha and I were there all 16 days, and they really did help us out a lot.
Wow.
Without any question. But you do have to understand that you could end up in the parking lot. You could end up working food. You're not necessarily, if you volunteer, doesn't mean you're going to see a competition.
Exactly.
Now, you could end up in the stadium working volunteers and see everything. So now what they are saying is that the days that the volunteers are working, they'll receive credentials to enter the events where they are working. free of charge. So obviously they're not going to charge you to get in if you're working.
Right.
But you may not end up doing that. So you just have to understand you're volunteering. You could get assigned someplace you weren't counting on.
Yeah.
I think there's a place on there you can kind of indicate what you're qualified to do.
Like I think if you have more horse experience, you could end up in the stable area or, you know, something like that. Now, they did say, and I didn't quite get this, Jennifer, maybe you could clarify this. In addition to being part of the world event, blah, 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 you will receive one transferable pass to the World Equine Expo for each day that you're scheduled to work. Does that mean you get a general admission pass for each day?
I'm pretty sure that means it's a general admission pass. That's something that's been a little confusing, especially for folks who weren't involved with 2010, that there are two separate ticketing methods. One is a general admission pass, which just gets you to the expo part, which in 2010 was the vendor area, the demonstrations, the clinics, all that stuff. That was a ticket price. It was very inexpensive. And then there was a separate ticket price if you wanted to go watch competitions. When you bought the competition ticket, it gets you automatically into general admission, but not vice versa. So I think if you get if you volunteer and you are working the crowd control at dressage team finals, obviously, as a volunteer, you get into dressage team finals, even though you're only working one shift. As far as I understand, it gets you into that competition venue for the entire day or class or whatever they're going to call it. So let's say you're working for 4 hours, but the competition in that venue lasts 7 hours. You get to watch the other 4 hours anyway, even though your shift's over. And that same pass gets you into the expo part, which is all the add-ons. That's what I got out of the conversation.
And I do know from somebody else that we're going to try and have this person also on the WEG show. They're starting to take applications for the other activities. Remember all the other activities? That's what you were part of, I think. All the demonstrations and all the clinics and all that stuff.
Mary has to apply. Mary has to apply.
I know. She really does.
Oh, Mary.
Bring your zonkey or something. So they're starting to take applications for all of that now, too. And we're going to try and get that guy on to talk about that. But they'll have more. Now, just because you apply does not mean you're going to be accepted. And you apply at tryon2018.com. You put in your application. That does not mean you're going to get it. If I remember right, last time they had 3,000 spots and about 8,000 people apply. So there were a lot of people applying. They're supposed to have more information coming out in March about that. Now, I don't remember, because Ariat was a sponsor last time of the volunteers, all those Ariat shirts running around. I don't remember the volunteers paying anything, but they're saying this time it will cost each volunteer $35 to purchase a uniform package, including shirts, a hat, and a pin. So, I don't remember. Do you remember them paying last time? I don't remember them paying.
I don't. I remember that they had uniforms, but...
Yeah. That's about all I remember, too.
Those were highly sought after. I was working in the vendor area for the entire 16 days. And as the games came to a close, everything that was game branded, if it had the actual proper 2010 games logos all over it, was sold out. There wasn't a scrap to be found anywhere.
Oh, yeah.
People were trying to buy people's volunteer jackets and shirts and stuff. People walk up to you and offer you $50 for your jacket that said volunteer WEG on it.
And you still see them out and about at shows nowadays, too, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got a WEG ball cap, and I'll go out and people ask just to buy it right off my head.
Still want it. There you go. Black market WEG merchandise.
Exactly.
That's right.
All right, let's do Daily Winnies here. Wait a minute. I forgot. Jennifer, do you have it on today's show?
Thank you.
You're welcome. I haven't done this in 2 days. So I don't know what I'm doing.
Coming up on today's Kentucky Performance Products Freestyle Friday edition, Glenn Forgets. And we're going to do a breed highlight today. We love doing those. And Jennifer Clover is going to stop by. And she is from Alan Clover Sport Horses. And she is going to tell us all about the totally adorable Scottish Highland pony.
Yay.
And Stephanie Ruff and Joe Nevels. They are the co-hosts of the newest show on the Horse Radio Network called Arabian Racing Radio. And they're going to stop by and tell us all about that. And of course, Really Bad Ads is here to help to further destroy your faith in humanity with a little bit of fun and humor. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Thank you, Jennifer. Now, Daily Winnie. Well, my Daily Winnie goes out to Jennifer, first and foremost, and also to Jamie and Jemmy and my friend Lee from the Colon Cancer Podcast. I've had some health issues here. Everybody knows about my ribs. We've been joking about that, but that's actually minor compared to some of the other things I've been dealing with. And I have this shoulder issue with a couple torn tendons I'm probably going to need surgery on. But while they were investigating all of that, they discovered that I had a brief cancer scare for a couple of weeks while they were doing some other tests. They found some cysts where they weren't supposed to be, and I had to get checked out for that. But I found out yesterday when the doctor called that it looks like they are probably benign and not going to have to do anything about them at this point. So,
ooh,
my kidneys are
good.
Appreciative, and I am appreciative, and thank everybody who had to put up with me for the last 2 weeks. My mom died of cancer, and I always said I want to get hit by a bus first before, you know, I ever have to deal with cancer. And, you know, I know there's some people in our audience that are dealing with that right now, and I feel for all of you, and, you know, I'm thinking about
you. Absolutely.
So anyway, that was ended up with good news in the end yesterday. And so thank you, Jennifer. Thank you, Jamie. And
you're welcome.
Jemmy and my friend Lee, who I've talked to about this. And that's my Daily Winnie for today.
Well, my Daily Winnie goes out to a few close friends of mine, and where would we be without friends? So Robin and Kim and Robert and Joy and Maria and a few others have spent the past, 2 months helping me pack up my house and clean my house. I mean, how many friends do you have that would go through your bathroom with a toothbrush scrubbing tile? So these are my friends. And toothbrushes in hand, scrubbing tile, and getting my house ready to sell. And so thank you to my good friends. 20 years.
Yeah, that's a long – it's amazing how much garbage and crap build up after 20 years.
And you know what, Glenn? I have been decluttering for about 18 months. And it's just amazing. You know, well, I've got all the Colby's Army nonprofit stuff. I've got a lot of that stuff. I've got all my clinic stuff that's there. I've got all my writing business and all of that is there. There's my stuff.
The thing you clean and you've spring, quote unquote, spring clean, but you never really take everything out. Until you take everything out, you don't realize how dirty your house is.
You don't. And you don't realize how much stuff you have packed away in the back closet or in the corner of the basement. And, you know,
Did you throw a lot away?
Oh, tons and tons and tons I threw away. And I sent a lot to the Goodwill and to some other, you know, similar nonprofits.
But isn't it cleansing, though?
It is. It's very freeing to be homeless.
We moved like 10 times in 14 years. And every time we'd move, we'd throw more stuff away. And you really do get down to you go, I really didn't, why did I need all that stuff?
Exactly.
I didn't use it.
Yeah. Glenn?
Yeah.
We need to pretend move again because we've got too much.
Yeah. See, now we've been here for 5 years and it's collecting again.
See?
Yeah.
So you either need to move or, or you need to.
We're going to pretend move.
Yeah. We kind of like it
really
here.
We don't really want to go anywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. We just collect stuff. I think it's part of our society. You know, we're just programmed to buy stuff. And, you know, we really need some stuff, but there's a lot of, you know, those little things we don't need.
You know, I mean, the older you get, the less you think you need to. You buy less stuff. Like, we'll go shopping now. We'll try and have retail therapy. And it's like, well, I don't really need that. It's not as fun when you walk around going, I don't really need that.
You know, I think we spend our first, 40 years, accumulating stuff. And then the next 40, getting rid of it.
Right, exactly. When we had our farm, it was a big house. It was like 5,000 square feet. It had it had 20 rooms, like 15 closets. It had 5 bathrooms. It had 7 garages. And when we sold that, when we moved out of there, we had an auction. It took 12 hours for the auction to sell all the stuff.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's how much crap we had accumulated in that place.
Holy cow.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, my God. So what do you do with seven garages?
Collect stuff and pile it in there. That's what you do with seven garages.
Like you didn't have cars in there?
No, it was just junk.
Oh, my goodness.
We house a lot of our friends and family stuff, too.
Yeah, see, that much...
We're kind of a free storage system.
Yeah. Yeah, when you have that much stuff, that's what happens. All right, well, Jennifer's getting the first guest on here. I got to tell you that McLean Ward won the 2017 USEF Equestrian of the Year title at the Pegasus Awards that they do at the USEF meeting every year. Now, McLean had a good year last year. He deserved to win it. He started his season by winning the $380,000 Suncoast Grand Prix CSI 5-star during the Winter Equestrian Festival last year, and he won that with HH Azure. A following month, he clinched Home Turf victory, winning the Longines FEI World Cup Jumping Final with HH Azure in Omaha. In May, he was successful at the Devon Horse Show and County Fair, winning $225,000 with Rothschild that time. And then he continued to win throughout the year. It'd take me all day to read everything he did. But just suffice to say, he probably paid his entry fees last year.
Yeah, and, you would think so.
Yeah, did pretty well. He also won silver medal at the Longines FEI Nations Cup at Jumping Final in September. His acceptance speech was very good. I wish I had time to play it, actually, but we don't. But if you want to find it, just go to the USEF website, and you'll find it there. It was very good, and I think it was probably worth taking a listen to. One of our friends, too, won the William Steinkraus Trophy, which is a coveted trophy each year at the awards. And Laura Graves and over in the dressage side, who's been a contributor to the Dressage Radio Show and been on there many times. And McLean Ward also won that, too.
Cool.
So there were a lot of other awards. You can read about that at the USEF website as well. And a fellow journalist, everybody knows her name, and that's Nancy Jaffer. And if you ever worked with, you know Nancy. If you've ever who doesn't know Nancy if you've been in journalism, right? And Nancy is the most, what's the word you would use for Nancy? She is the most head down, get the story done journalist I've ever seen.
She's almost old school.
Yes.
You know?
I don't know what the word is, but Nancy is as unfocused as I am. It's the reason I'll never win any awards. As unfocused as I am, Nancy is
won awards, Glenn.
Yeah, but not serious journalism awards.
Well, okay.
Now, we did win Podcast of the Year last year, so that counts. That counts.
Well, I guess that's not a serious journalism award.
No, it's more like being goofy on the radio. But
you're right. She's down, get the story done, focus on the facts, and just report the story.
She won the Medal of Honor Award, which was also won by Jacqueline Mars, who owns many horses in the horse world and has been a big contributor to the horse world. So congratulations to Nancy. She deserved that. She's been covering the horse world for Nancy, you have done it for about 30 years.
While.
I'm throwing her under the bus a little bit. So, Nancy, you've done a great job, and congratulations. You deserved it. All right, let's talk to our first guest. She is ready.
So we have Jennifer Clover here, and Jennifer knows everything there is to know about Scottish Highland ponies. And Jennifer, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
I have to tell you that when I was a kid, I was an only child and horse crazy kid, I invented this little game, and I would take a deck of cards and I'd flip a card open. If I got an eight, then that meant that I had eight horses in my fantasy horse stable. And the first horse breed I always picked was the Highland Pony. And I always wanted one. Yeah. Tell us a little bit about why they're so special.
Well, they're special for a lot of reasons, but in the kind of current today reason is because they're kind, they're versatile, they're safe, they love people, they're very friendly, they like to do things, So if you're a rider or a non-rider, maybe a driver or just someone who loves to have horses around, they're a wonderful companion. They're always happy to see you. They're always game for an adventure or to go for a ride or a drive, get on the trailer, go do something fun. And they're safe. You know, they're sturdy. They'll bring your kid back home. They'll bring you back home. So, you know.
So
they're just all around wonderful.
Is it safe to say they're kind of like a pony without the pony attitude?
Yes, it is.
Sort of.
Now, you know, they might want to reach for that grass.
Yeah. Now there are...
But all around...
There's two kinds of ponies, kind of Highland ponies. There's a stockier, draftier type, and then there's the more refined type now. How big are these ponies?
Well, height-wise, they're 13 hands to 14-2, just kind of like you would think of a pony size.
Yeah.
That's very true about the two different types. And the stockier one would look probably to your average horse person, more drafty.
Mm-hmm.
And then the more refined ones are just, they're still going to be substantial, but just not quite so big.
Yeah.
You know, big in the neck, big, deep chest, big barrel, big hindquarters, which are qualities of the Highlands that we want, but some are just bigger and some just look a little lighter.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, they're not very popular here in the United States yet. Is that correct? I mean, there aren't a lot of them.
I think that's right. I think that's true to a certain extent. But part of that is that there's such limited numbers here. There's less than 100 in North America.
Wow.
And there's about 3,500 worldwide. So it's a vulnerable breed. And that's part of what we're trying to do is to grow the breed in numbers and promote the breed. Is our mission and what we're doing. And we're finding that people that need them are like, wow, where did you get this and how can I get one?
Yeah, because they were developed and bred originally in Scotland. There are many more of them over in that part of the world. They just haven't come here yet.
Yes. And they were, the numbers were significantly higher. They were used in World War I and World War II a lot. And that really brought their numbers down for kind of obvious reasons. And their numbers haven't really come back since then or bounced back significantly. Yes. And
Wow. That's
also, you know, I feel like they deserve to be preserved and promoted and grown. They've made a significant contribution to our world.
Yeah. Yeah. Now are there, with only 100, I can't imagine that there's a lot of Highland Pony horse shows, but are they out there competing or how are you getting the word out?
They are competing. You can see them a lot in the expos and that type of thing. Mm-hmm. Let's see, on the West Coast, they are shown in the, there's a couple of things. On the West Coast, they can be seen in the Western States Horse Expo in Pomona and Sacramento. And here, what we're trying to do is just bring them to shows. And when people say, what is this and where'd you get it? We try to talk to them about them. You'll see them in low-level eventing, pleasure, dressage. Sometimes they're there and you don't really realize what they are.
Right.
When you see them out with people doing things. They're popular in driving because they're very well-suited for that as well. So you'll see a lot of them there.
They could look like a Welsh pony or that type of a pony. Although
yeah, some of the more refined ones may, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, how did you get interested in the breed?
Well, we have a group of us that are doing this venture, and one of the couples, the husband is from Scotland, and the wife met the ponies by going there and was a student of mine, and she'd always said, I want a Highland pony. So we went and found one at one point, and it just sort of grew into this bigger thing, and she has two, and we've got three in our barn that are a part of our brand new breeding program. So it just sort of grew organically.
Yeah. Yeah. Because there's only, when it comes to breeding, there's what, like 7 or 8 stallions in all of North America?
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah. There aren't very many.
Even fewer breeders. Yeah. No, there aren't very many.
Wow.
And so we're lucky to have one of them. Yes.
That's amazing.
And we've also, yes, it is. and it's a very, you know, within the community of people that know Highlands, you know, everybody sort of knows everybody and everybody's eager to keep them going and this type of thing.
Are you breeding? Yeah. Are you breeding for the more drafty types, like from the days of old when they were actually used in battle and things? Or are we breeding for the lighter type now?
We have chosen a stallion that's more of the lighter type.
Okay.
Because
didn't Braveheart ride one of these? William Wallace?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, that's absolutely correct. Yes.
And because they were so stocky, I mean, they weren't very big, but they were stocky. They could carry adults at that
point. And they weren't ever stocky, yeah, like halflinger type
right.
stocks, but they were, you know, like a really heavy quarter horse stocky.
Right. Yeah.
Yes, and they're big barreled and deep chested and, you know, good bone, good solid bone. And these are still qualities we look for in breeding and in buying and selling and that type of thing.
Yeah.
Wow.
Now, where are you located?
We're in Florida. We're just west of Orlando in Central Florida.
Oh, cool. Cool. Not too far from you, Glenn.
Yeah, right down the street.
Road trip.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have to go down and visit.
Absolutely.
Gotta come visit. Yes. Yeah. And we have a baby on the way. We imported a mare from Scotland this fall.
Do you ride and drive both? Yours?
We're riding them now. We're working on getting them started in driving. But
cool.
We have the stallion that we have is going under saddle. And we have a gelding named Donald who is under saddle. And he goes and does little jumps and does little cross-country things and ditches and banks and water and all that kind of fun stuff.
So Glenn, you'll have to have them on the driving show.
I just looked up Highland ponies for sale, and there aren't a lot.
No. In fact, I believe that the one that we have is the only one for sale that is under sap.
That's the only one I saw.
They're popular.
That's the only one I saw.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, let's put a plug out for yours for sale. Tell us about your sale horse. We very seldom do this, but why not?
Yeah.
Oh, well, wonderful. Well, he's McCrimmon Donald Moore. He's gray. He's just 6. He was a 2012 baby. He is as kind and as cute as you could want him to be.
He's very cute.
He kind of is what we are describing here. He's game. He loves to do things. He's adventurous. He's safe. We've put very, very timid beginner adults on him and timid beginner children on him and more advanced riders, and he'll take care of whoever's on him.
That's fabulous.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Easy keepers, you know.
And he's kind of
easy to handle.
He's kind of silver with kind of a silver mane too, right?
Yes, he is.
I don't know
he's
what other.
Kind of
I think silver is the best word.
A,
I mean, he's dark gray. I realize, but he's almost in these pictures. He looks silver.
Yeah, he does, and he's it's almost like a roney kind of a dapply. So that it's a color that you don't really see in a lot of other breeds.
No.
It's true. Their coloring is somewhat unique to the breed. And he is particularly beautiful that way.
Especially
and they'll
his mane.
Sometimes even have zebra stripes around their withers and on their legs. And
I can
he
see
doesn't
that.
Have those now, but he may develop them.
Hey, Jennifer, he's right down the road. Just saying.
You have to go look.
I know.
He's cute as a Dickens.
Yes, and you'll have to come visit. And, you know, there's the baby coming. You can see the baby. You can come see Donald and ride him.
How many mares do you have?
We have one mare that's in the breeding program. We have another mare, but right now she's not sort of in the formal program. So we have one pregnant mare with the baby on the way, and that's where we're at with the program.
Now, I'm going back to Donald, which I would have to rename Braveheart, of course. So what's his price, Donald?
We're currently asking $12,000.
Yeah, well, I figured because you know what, there aren't a whole lot of them. You're not going to find them anywhere else.
They're not, and
he does everything.
Yeah,
you can't. He does everything, and you can't import him for that price either.
No, well, it's cost you that much to fly him over. So,
yeah.
Very cool. Very cool. Yeah. Where can people find him and find you and learn more about the breed?
Well, you can find me on Allen and Clover Sport Horses is our website. And we have a McCrimmon stud. That's who we are. We have a website that's under construction that's not just out there yet. But they can find us through Allen and Clover Sport Horses.
And Jennifer will post a link to that on our Facebook page and also in our show notes. Thank you so much for joining us. This is fun. I always love hearing about new ponies, especially.
It's been great talking to you.
Oh, well, thank you.
Thanks,
Jennifer. We're so excited to be able to let people know about them.
And hopefully, if we get down that way, we'll stop in and say hi to them.
That would be great.
Please do. We'd love to have you.
All right. Thanks, Jennifer. Well, there you go.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
There's another one to add to your list of things to buy when you win the lottery.
There you go. He's a cutie. He really is.
I won the lottery. I won $5. It's not enough.
Not quite.
No, I think I needed to win a little more than that.
Well, you need to get like one of those pools
together. You can buy
together.
A picture of a Highland pony for $5.
That's right.
There you go.
That's right.
There you go.
Yeah.
That works.
This one is so cool with the silver mane, though. The mane is really cool.
Yeah. It is, and he's got like some dapples on his butt and some really cute silvery tail.
He could pull a cart with a couple of people in it, Jennifer.
Oh yeah,
he could pull a truck. Are you kidding? Gee Willikers.
You know, I forgot to ask. I wonder if he like will like gray out or get lighter as he gets older.
I wonder how many of these are actually. I just was wondering how many are actually named Braveheart. I'm sure I'm not the first one to do that. I would have to do
probably
it.
Probably not.
I would have to do it. You would have to do it. Just, have to. It's one of my favorite movies ever. It's one of those movies as you're clicking through, you end up watching again.
Exactly.
No matter where you come. And I always come into the same battle scene every time.
Really?
Every time. It's like you get to certain Star Wars movies or Harry Potter movies, and you've seen the movie 20 times, and it seems like every time you click by it, you're coming through the same scene every time. I don't know why that happens.
That scene just sucks you right in, though, again, doesn't it?
That's right. And then you sit there and watch it for the 80th time.
Yes.
And you know what? The ending is always the same. It never changes.
Isn't that weird?
Never changes. All right. We got to get our next guests on here. But in the meantime, we have to hear about Kentucky Performance Products. This Nutrition Minute is brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products, the company that simplifies your search for research-proven nutritional supplements at kppusa.com.
The horse that matters to you matters to Kentucky Performance Products. Managing horses can be challenging. Each horse's personality affects the way he behaves and reacts to the world around him. Horses with certain dispositions can be at higher risk for developing health problems than others. High-strung or excitable horses are easily stressed, but so is the timid, quiet warrior. Stressed horses are more likely to develop digestive upsets that lead to colic, diarrhea, and ulcers. Nalox Advanced was specifically developed to support a digestive tract that is under stress. It sustains proper pH levels, reducing the incidence of ulcers and hindgut imbalances, while simultaneously supporting the healing of damaged tissue. Nalox Advanced supports the complete digestion of starches and sugars and sustains populations of beneficial bacteria. Make life a little easier on your sensitive horse and start him on Nalox Advanced today. To learn more about the ingredients in Nalox Advanced, visit Kentucky Performance Products at kppusa.com.
And, of course, you can find Kentucky Performance Products on Facebook as well. Just search for Kentucky Performance Products, and we thank them for their continued support in their, I think it's 9th year now here on the show and on
Horse.
Isn't that amazing? 9 years with the same sponsor every week for 9 years. So thank you to Karen and the gang over there. And if you ever have a question about horse nutrition or you're not sure what your horse is going to take nutritionally or supplement wise, just call them. They'll be glad to answer any questions that you have. Definitely just give them a call. Well, we have, we're going to try and get, I lost one here. Let's try and get Stephanie back. I had her on, and now she seems to be gone. So we'll try and get her back. We have a brand new show here on the Horse Radio Network that we're very excited about, and we want to introduce you to the host. I'm trying to get Stephanie back, but I think I have Joe here. Hi, Joe.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. we might be doing this without the boss.
Oh, boy.
Where is she at? I think she was here just a minute ago. I'm trying to get her on Skype here. But in the meantime, while we're trying to get Stephanie back on, this show on the Horse Radio Network, this brand new show, is called Arabian Racing Radio by Arabian Finish Line Magazine. And Joe, I think a lot of people would be shocked to find out that they race Arabians. I mean, everybody Absolutely. Knows that they do endurance with Arabians, but I think there's listeners out there going, they race Arabians?
Oh, yeah. And it's very much like thoroughbred racing. It's the same thing. They run at the same tracks as the thoroughbreds. A lot of the same riders go on them. They saddle them up just like they do the thoroughbreds, get on their back and let them out the gates and see who gets there first. It's not unlike thoroughbred racing at all.
What distances do they do?
Same as thoroughbreds. They can go to 4.5 furlongs to over a mile.
Now, do they see, now I often thought with Arabian racing, this is my idea, Lisa, is you have the regular racetrack where they're doing thoroughbreds. See what you think about this, Joe. You have the regular racetrack where they're doing thoroughbreds, and you have a separate track on the outside. When the race meet starts, the Arabians go. And when the 10 races of the thoroughbreds are over, the Arabians finish. That's my thought, is it's one big long race all day because they're made for endurance, and then you're kind of got side bets going on that the whole day.
You know, I actually kind of like that. It's like the marathons that start and stop at the stadium.
And
they go around town, eventually they come back in the same part, and you know, all the crowd's cheering and
everything. Yes, it's perfect. And you know what? There is nothing more boring than the 20 minutes in between races. I find it, I cannot stand the 20 minutes in between races. So it would give me something to watch. During that
put
time.
It on the jumbotron between races. You can kind of keep track of the
stuff. It's perfect. I invented a new race. Look at that, Joe.
I like it. I'll send it to my people.
Yeah, you do that. Yeah, all right.
Years ago, I was in Billings, Montana, and at a racetrack, and they had thoroughbred racing and Appaloosa racing and paint racing and quarter horse racing and Arabian racing. And that was the first time I'd ever seen Arabian horses run. And it was just amazing. They're just, you know, they move differently than thoroughbreds or quarter horses. And but the times were great. And as you said, the distances were very similar. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, they're a very photogenic breed. They, you know, like I said, they carry their heads differently. They carry their tails differently than thoroughbreds. It's a completely different opportunity for photos because they look so much different than a typical thoroughbred.
Yes.
And just out of the sake of curiosity, were you at Yellowstone Downs in Billings, Montana?
This was, I have to say, I'm going to date myself a little bit. This was back in the 1970s.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they were even racing them back then. Yeah.
So they've been all over the place. They've been in Florida. Right now they're running in Delaware, Texas, California.
Hi, you've reached Stephanie. Oh,
I still can't get Stephanie. So it looks like you're on your own here, Joe.
Oh boy, flying solo.
Stephanie, are you there?
I am.
Oh,
here.
There she is. Right. We got her now. We've started talking a little bit about Arabian racing and the fact that there was such a thing, which is going to be a surprise to a lot of people. So, Stephanie, welcome to the show. Stephanie, what's your official title over at Arabian Finish Line?
I am the publisher, editor, and assorted other titles.
Okay, she's the big boss. So we'll just call her Big Boss over there at Arabian Finish Line Magazine. And Arabian Finish Line Magazine is like the magazine for Arabian racing.
It is. It is the only publication dedicated to Arabian racing in the United States.
Now, do they race? I assume that Arabians being so popular in the Middle East that it is popular racing over there, too?
It's really popular over there. There are hundreds and hundreds, thousands of horses that race, Arabians that race in the Middle East. And and actually throughout Europe as well. England, France is very popular. Poland, Russia. It's all over.
Wow. So it's probably less popular here than there?
Well, numbers-wise, yes.
Yes, okay. Time-wise, I assume they're not quite as fast if we're looking at the same length race as the thoroughbreds. They're coming in a little bit slower?
They absolutely are slower. Okay. That is, there's no denying it. Arabians have not been bred for speed for the amount of time that thoroughbreds have been bred for speed, and they're smaller and all of that. They're more compact. So, no, they're definitely not as fast.
That's why my idea, Joe, is perfect. I think it's perfect.
Oh, yeah. You got to catch Stephanie up on this.
Yes. So, okay. Stephanie, this is my idea. When a race meet starts at a track with the thoroughbreds, you have an outside track where the Arabians start, and they run the whole race meet around and around and around so that when the last race ends, the 10th race at the thoroughbreds, then they finish. So it's an endurance race right at the track that keeps us entertained in between races.
You know, that's honestly, that's not a bad idea.
I think it's perfect. Now,
Arabians are definitely slower than thoroughbreds on the traditional flat track, but you get them out for miles and Arabian's going to put away a thoroughbred, you know, pretty much.
It would also give the endurance riders something to do. You know, they could do that too. Yeah, it'd be perfect.
So you might have a slightly difficult time convincing the tracks to do that, but, you know, that's details, minor details.
Yeah. That's right. Well, yeah, because there's only a betting on one race then at that point.
And there would be a construction of an entirely new track around the.
Yeah, it's that little drop. It's a little thing.
A few hiccups, but hey, I think it's an excellent idea.
So tell us, guys, what's the show going to be about? What's Arabian Racing Radio about?
Joe, go ahead. You can take this one.
All right. Well, Arabian Racing Radio is going to be our bi-weekly look into the Arabian racing industry, both in North America and worldwide. We grab some guests from within the industry and outside, perhaps, talk to them, get their stories, get what makes them interesting and what makes Arabian racing interesting. We go over big races that have happened recently and, you know, just kind of touch base on what's going on, have some good conversations.
And the first episode is out, so people can go find that. They can find it on the HRN app. Just search for – you just go on there and look for Arabian Racing Radio, the logo. You'll also find it on iTunes. You can find it on any of the podcast players. Arabian Racing Radio is there ready for you to download the first episode, so definitely check that out. You can find it at horseradionetwork.com, on the web, and also over at your website too, right, Stephanie?
Yes. ArabianRacingRadio.com.
And also, well, I wanted to ask you guys, now, is there a California Chrome? Is there a Zenyatta right now in the Arabian world, a superstar?
Yeah, we really do have a superstar. His name is Paddy's Day. He's been running 4 years now. He's a two-time Darley Horse of the Year, and our Darley Awards are the equivalent of the Thoroughbred Eclipse Awards. He's a two-time Darley Horse of the Year. He is the heavy favorite to win a third consecutive Horse of the Year for 2017. He's been around. He runs all over the country and now all over the world. He wins at all distances. He beats, you know, whoever. He wins most of his races. He hasn't won them all, but he's always right there. He never puts in a bad race. Well, except for one race in Abu Dhabi, but that was on the turf, which Arabs in this country don't run on, and going the opposite direction. So there's a bit of an excuse.
Confused
in that,
the poor boy.
Yeah. So, but he's been around now. He's earned, with bonus money, he's earned the equivalency of very close to, if not $1 million, which in the Arabian world is unheard of. That's an incredible amount of money for us anyway. So, and he just, you know, he's been really dominant in this country for a number of years. He went to Abu Dhabi last year in November to run in the richest Arabian race in the world, the Jewel Crown, which is worth 1.2 million euros. Like I said, he didn't do well in that, but he stayed over there to prepare for a campaign in the UAE, because this is the big UAE racing season right now over the winter, because in the summer and stuff, it gets just way too hot over there to race. So he just ran. And Joe, why don't you tell him a little bit about what he did in Dubai just a week ago, I guess it was.
Well, spoiler alert, he won. He took his show on the road after kind of a, you know, an uncharacteristically poor finish in the Jewel Crown race. He went into this race, which was more his speed. It was a, you know, it was a counterclockwise race on the dirt, going a mile. It was right in his wheelhouse. He took the lead coming into the turn, didn't look back, and just showed that winning spirit, because there was a horse coming on strong in the last couple hundred meters. Looked like he was going to zero in on him, but this horse does not like to lose. He's run 36 times. He's won 23 of them. So he knows
That's
how to
amazing.
Win races. Yeah.
That's amazing.
He's only,
wow.
In North America, he's run about 30 times, and he's only finished out of the money, which is either worse than first, second, or third once in his entire life.
Yeah.
And this race, he showed that. He has this other horse coming up on him, and most other horses would see this and think, oh, I'm done for. Spit the bit. You know, you go ahead. He digs in. He holds on by a neck and wins a big race, and it's going to make him a very likely favorite for the Dubai Kahala Classic on March 31st. Which is the big sort of signature Arabian race for the big Dubai meet that's going to be on the Dubai World Cup undercard, which is a big global card. So it's a huge exposure race for the Arabian breed worldwide. And if he's not going to be the favorite, he's going to be one of the favorites just because he's that tough and that talented.
Who's he owned by again?
He's owned by Scott Powell of Quarter Moon Ranch.
One of the things I noticed in looking at the pictures of the Arabians at race is they do definitely do not have the dishy faces that you see in the show Arabians. And I assume, and I'm happy to see that, by the way.
Well, not all Arabian people are happy to see that.
Really?
But, yeah. Our Arabian racehorses have, in about the last 20 years, lost a little bit of their... of Arabian type, which is, you know, the smaller ears, the dishy face. Now, that's not exclusive, but a lot of them have, simply because they've the influx of different strains from some from France, some from the Middle East, that just because they are breeding more for athleticism, they're not looking at the typical Arab traits like the high tail carriage and the dishy faces. So, yeah, we are losing that a little bit. And that's, you know, that's part of what makes Arabians unique. So, you know, it's kind of a double-edged sword. I mean, we have some incredible athletes. Paddy's Day is one of them. And he is, you know, Paddy is not really typey, but he's fairly refined.
He's refined, you know. Yeah. But not like the crazy dishy faces that you see the pictures of in Arabians now. I mean, some of them are just crazy. Look cartoonish.
And, you know, because there are people who not breeding for racing who are breeding for that real type. And that's not certainly that doesn't benefit a racehorse necessarily. So, you know, but it also is part of what makes an Arabian in a way. So it's a little here and there, but you know, a lot of our Arabs can you will still see some of them out there with the flagging tails and their head carriage is typically still a little higher than the thoroughbreds, and their action can be a little bit different. But that's been changing as people have really focused on breeding a different type of Arabian athlete.
Lisa, leave it to me to accidentally bring up the controversial topic in the Arabian. Not even knowing what
asking
I'm talking
the tough
about.
Questions.
Yeah,
that would be you.
I wish I could say that I try to ask tough questions, but it's just stupidity, pretty much.
No, but this is what we're all thinking. You know, I'm looking at some Arabian racehorses on the internet while we've been talking, and they do look a little bit different. And so my question, and none of us are veterinarians, but you guys might know, does the real dish face prevent like big air intake?
See, I wanted to ask that, but I was too scared. I was thrown off.
Yeah. So because well, you look at it like, it, go ahead.
I'm not a veterinarian either. So, you know, I can't, you know, answer that definitively, but just knowing what I know about horses and racing and stuff, the extreme dish would, I guess it's possible. I don't know that it's been proven one way or the other, but I think it's certainly possible. And it's just, you know, because for horse racing, flat or endurance, I mean, you want that big lung capacity and, you know, that clear airway and everything like that. So, you know, but overall, it's just not an important trait for some
racing
breeders. Yeah. I'm not going to say all, but it's, you know, because they're looking at other things. And like we all know, when you breed horses, when you focus on one area, you know, a different area is going to change a little bit because that's not what you're focused on.
Look at us, the 60 minutes of the horse world here. Horses.
And it's worth noting also that a lot of Arabian racehorses run on Lasix, the same as thoroughbreds. So they do get sort of the similar, you know, treatments for to help their breathing patterns that you know, the thoroughbreds do. Whether it's warranted or not, that's something that a lot of them get treated for.
And you have to think that the Arabian has so for decades dominated the endurance field, and you have to get air into your lungs when you're doing endurance. So,
exactly. Yeah. And so they typically do have a really high lung capacity. I mean, they really can go forever. There's just no doubt about that.
Right.
All right. Very good. Well, you can find the show. Again, it's called Arabian Racing Radio. Thank you, guys. We're so excited to have you on the network. And I've produced the first couple of shows, and you're going to be interested in this even if you aren't if you don't know anything about Arabian racing, because they really do try and keep it so that even people who don't know anything about it can understand it and be interested in it. And your first episode was out. You had the head of one of the organizations, right?
Yes, we had Sue Meyer, the president of the Arabian Jockey Club, come on and talk a little bit about her life in Arabian horses, which spans much more than just racing, as well as, you know, what the Arabian Jockey Club does, what their purpose is, and a little bit of what to look forward to in 2018.
And you can find it again just on our app, a Horse Radio Network app, on all the websites, any place you're going to find a podcast that you listen to currently, just search for Arabian Racing Radio. Thank you, Stephanie. Thank you, Joe.
Thank you. Thanks so much.
All right,
appreciate
bye, guys.
Bye.
What a cool idea for a show.
Yeah, and you know, she had approached us a while back, and we finally got the timing right, and we're able to get it together. They're going to be twice a month, so they'll be twice a month, which I think is most of our shows are twice a month now that are starting. So it's I think it's perfect timing, and it's an interesting world, and they know it inside and out. Joe also writes for he writes for Thoroughbred Side. He's a writer for the Thoroughbred Side, pretty well-known writer. So he,
I thought I recognized the name.
Yeah, and you'll see him on. I think it's Bloodhorse he writes for.
Yeah.
So he knows racing inside, as you can tell. I mean, he just knows his stuff.
Yeah.
And Stephanie, of course, does the magazine. She knows it too. So, if you're going to have two people host a show about this, it's those two. They're the perfect two.
Yeah.
And we're
they've got good voices too. They've got good radio voices.
Yeah. And you know what? The first episode, Jemmy helped me with it. She helped produce it. And she said after the show, she said, "You two sound like you've been doing this for 20 years. You know, it was, there was no, the first episode was like really good, unlike ours, you know, which sucked. It was actually really good. It's like, you guys really had, you would think you've been doing it for a long time. So we're just happy to have it here on the Horse Radio Network. And we want to thank those guys.
Totally.
Let's talk about Ovation. OvationRiding.com. You use, you know, Jamie talks all the time about using Ovation helmets, but you do too.
Yeah. Oh, I absolutely do. And I love my Ovation helmet. It's really the only helmet that like fits my head. And I like it because it's very lightweight and it's comfortable in the summer when Tennessee summers can get really brutally hot and humid. And, you know, I don't feel like I've got this big hulking weight on my head, you know, and it's stylish. It's pretty, you know, I like it. It's green and it's got this little black stuff all over. It's very cool. And the other thing that I like about Ovation is in our therapeutic riding program at Colby's Army, we have some Ovation helmets and, you know, they're adjustable. You can
that
fit
has a little dial thing in the back.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. Love it. Love it.
It has
love
a technical
it.
Name, which we can never remember, but we call it the little dial thing.
The little dial thing. Yep. Yes. Yeah, but they're made to fit a person's head, and I've had lots of other helmets, and they just don't fit as well. And that's the big thing that I like about Ovation is that they fit.
Well, and that's one of the things. Some people's heads are shaped different, and if you have an oblong head that doesn't fit, a lot of helmets are kind of rounded, almost, and these fit those heads. And because of the adjustment, you actually in a schooling barn like yours can have less sizes. You don't need in other helmets you would have to have 15 sizes. And this one you can have 5 and adjust. And it really does work out.
Yeah. And, you know, it's important that your helmet fits because, you know, if you do fall off, you know, you want it to stay on your head. So, so when we have a lot of riders come in at Colby's Army, then we want to make sure that those helmets are fitting and the ovations really stand out.
I also wanted to mention that we don't mention too often is Ovation also has the helmet Zox, which is the helmet covers in all the pretty colors, little tie-dye or whatever you want. So if your child or you are into helmet covers that are fun, then you can find those over at ovationriding.com as well. And one size fits all on those, and they really do have a variety of colors.
They do. They do. You can change your color coordination every single day.
That's right. That's important.
Yeah.
Yep. OvationRiding.com. For all of your helmet needs, they have about 25 varieties. Just check them all out over there. Well, what do you say? You want to go right into, it is Friday.
Friday.
What do you think? We should do it?
I think. Oh. You know, it's the highlight of my week, Glenn. You all know right. this.
We got a lot of help this time, too.
Pay attention.
If you ain't met one by now, you're bound to sooner or later. He says one thing and he means another, but he can't help it. He's a horse trader.
Horse trading. Well, it's a laissez-faire. Let the buyer beware. Horse trading. They tell a low-down lie with a sincere stare. Horse trading. Well, if they're talking in circles and the deal ain't square, he's a master in the fine art of persuading. Horse trading.
That's right. It is time for Really Bad Ads, and we have a couple of prizes for you this month. Really Bad Ads is a time when our listeners submit some really crappy Craigslist ads that they find, and we just have a little fun with them here on Fridays. I think this is probably our 800th Friday that we've done Really Bad Ads. At this point, we've done thousands of them, and we think that you would have seen it all, but we just get new ones every week.
This is a specially interesting crop of ads.
Yes, and we get some help. I think four or five of the listeners actually read today, so we're going to be playing those too. But we have a couple prizes. One is The Coveted. It's on people's bucket lists. The Coveted, box of crap from my closet. And I've been collecting a little crap. There's some crap in there. Plus, we're going to Ada next week, which means that we always get crap at Ada. There's always giveaways and stuff, and we always take all the freebies that we can find, and we throw them in the box of crap. So it's going to be a good box of crap this month. And also, we're giving away a book called Brain Training for Riders. It was written by Andrea Montserrat Waldo, and it is just that. It's about training your brain. Did you know there is an area of your brain known as the lizard brain that thinks—
I did know that.
Did you know that?
I did know that.
We determined that I have this, and it thinks only about the immediate moment and your means of survival. That's right. And in certain circumstances, your rational brain can effectively shut down, and you are in the mercy of a reptile, dry mouth, sweating, queasy, unable to think clearly. It's your lizard brain. That's me all the time.
Yeah.
Dry mouth, sweating, queasy, unable to think clearly. That's my life right there. So if you want to read about lizard brains and all that other stuff, you're going to get this book. We'll send it out to one of the winners this month of Really Bad Ads, Brain Training for Riders. You can find it where all books are sold. All right, let's do it.
Okay.
Let's get started. We're going to start with Gemma. Gemma, everybody's favorite. She has the greatest voice for reading ads.
Hey, it's Gemma here with a registered Palomino, quote, trail horse, Morgan Gelding. Drop dead gorgeous registered 12-year-old Morgan Geld. This fella thinks he is all that and a bag of chips. And he is. Must have a fun-loving attitude for this frat boy. He is a seasoned mountain trail horse. He is the perfect partner for camping and riding in rough terrain. He is as sure-footed as a mountain goat. He likes doing obstacle course stuff, tricks, and hanging out with the other horses and riders on the trails. He is very well-mannered, clever, and has a sense of humor. Sale price, $6,500. All sounds pretty good until you look at the pictures and start reading in between the lines. So, the picture shows a big old fat, indeed, Palomino Morgan Gelding. And so that whole thing about him being all that in a bag of chips, it's true because he ate the bag of chips and now he's really fat. So that whole thing about him being a frat boy, it was a typo. It should be fat boy. sure-footed as a mountain goat. Probably more like as stubborn as a mountain goat. Doing obstacle course stuff, tricks, and hanging out. That's because he's so lazy that he doesn't want to move out, and he'll try all kinds of tricks to stop you from riding him. And on that same note, being clever and having a sense of humor, he's going to be clever and trying to find ways out of work, and you have to have a sense of humor to deal with this horse, otherwise you're just going to go crazy. So he sounds like the perfect horse.
Perfect.
Good job, Gemma.
She does have the best voice.
She does. She has the best voice ever.
Absolutely.
All right. Why don't I take the next one? This is from Emily. Emily sent. I think Emily's from Alaska, if I remember right. I don't even know what this says. I don't know why I picked this one. I should have given you
this one.
Mice Catcher, $100. I think it's supposed to be Mice Catcher. I don't know.
I think so. Yeah.
We have three cute, playful kittens. Two girl and boy. They born on November 15th. All of them is patty trainee. Patty trainee. Eat regular kitten food. We would like to find them a new, good, loving home. For a small rehoming fee of $1-100. OBO for each. They're asking $100 for barn kittens?
Well, it says... Does it say minus 100? Does that mean that they're going to pay you $100?
Oh, yeah, that could be. They mom is training them to catch a mouse. A mice. I couldn't read this. They mom is training them to catch a mice. So they really good for that. Hopefully you will help out. Hopefully you will help for us. We only is mom and dad of our kitten. Please text us or email if you interest. We are from Wasilla, and that would be Alaska. So Alaska is not immune to really bad ads.
Isn't Sarah Palin from
yes,
Wasilla?
Yes, it was probably one of her relatives that wrote this ad. No, I'm just kidding. She probably tripped.
That is a good ad.
Yeah.
That is a good ad. Okay.
If you want to catch a mouse.
Catch a mouse. Catch a mice. Catch a mice. So our next one is from Lindsay.
Sounds like a punk rock band. Catch a mice.
Catch a mice.
Yes.
Yes. Right. I think that's going to stay in the phrasing for a while. Yeah. It's going to become a thing.
Yep.
To catch a mice. Lindsay, quarter horse mare, $1,100, spring green. 16-year-old quarter horse mare. Good trailer hearse. Stands good, super easy to catch. Cheese bin hauled.
Cheese bin hauled?
Cheese bin hauled. C-H-E-E-S-E. Cheese bin hauled a lot and seen a lot. Been around dogs, machinery, and traffic. Carries loaded saddlebags.
But if they're empty, forget it.
Maybe they're loaded with cheese.
I don't know. I was trying to wonder what they were loaded with. I really didn't want to ask, actually. Beer is my guess. Beer would be my guess.
Yes. Exactly.
get that horse together with the frat boy up above, and you got a party right there.
There you go.
Cheese, beer, and the frat boy. Oh, good.
Yeah.
This is from Joy. Two boy spotted miniature horses, $900 in Clarksville. That'd be in Tennessee, I bet.
That would be just up the road from me.
Yes. Yeah. Two teeny tiny spotted miniature horses. Boys. Weanlings. Lots of fun. Update. They are not halter broke. Oh, big surprise. If you can't wrangle a 75-pound teeny tiny furball, these fellas aren't for you. Okay. The owner has not been able to wrangle the 75-pound teeny tiny furball. What makes the owner think you're going to wrangle
it? Well, at least he's going to be honest.
Yeah.
At least he's honest.
Yeah. It always makes me wonder when the owner hasn't haltered them either.
Yeah. So a number of years ago, I was at a therapeutic riding center and we got some minis and we assumed that they were halter broke because they were like six. No. These were like adult miniatures that were not halter broken. And so when we tried to teach them to halter broke, they would throw themselves on the ground. That was their response.
So you really had to pick them up to be able to.
But by then, they weighed more like 375 pounds. A little tougher.
Front end loader, scrape them up.
Exactly. Exactly.
What'd you ever do with them?
Well, we actually I got them halter broke, and they're in another therapeutic riding program now, but they're doing great, and they're going through leading programs. They're teaching kids to lead horses, and they're actually doing quite well.
They've stopped throwing themselves on the ground now.
They have, yeah. Yes.
That's one way to get out of work.
Exactly. Yeah. So Rachel has sent us the next one. Coming up, rehoming 46 horses. Appaloosa times God only knows. 10 to 20 years of inbreeding. Experienced trainers only. One jumped out of the top of a cattle truck with no issues and galloped off.
I want that one.
Well, I think that one's gone, Glenn.
Oh, okay. Good jumper, though.
14 stallions and mares. Don't know, really. Foals everywhere.
Oh, my God.
Shy and wild mares with foal at foot, a few weeks old. One looks just like this, and there's a photo of a very loud-colored spotted Appaloosa. But I can't get a good photo. Some have spots on bum, and the rest black.
Can you imagine the wrangling that's going to go on to get these horses into a trailer?
Oh my goodness. God. Oh my goodness. And then you mix them with the minis and everybody's tripping over the minis.
God, that's crazy.
Oh my goodness.
14 stallions. So there you go.
Foals everywhere.
Well, no kidding.
I can just see the chaos.
Yes.
We can't even get a good picture, you know?
Yes, she couldn't even get a picture. That makes you wonder, doesn't it? Jumped out of the truck.
Can you imagine?
No problem.
Off.
Yeah, must have been one of those convertible trailers we see all the time in really bad ads.
Must be.
Yeah.
It was a livestock trailer. So. Yeah.
Speaking of bad trailers, we have one coming up here. I got to say, this one isn't quite as bad as some of the others we've seen because there's Aaron tires. There's
this is
that.
True.
Yeah, but they're tires off of a baby buggy.
That's true.
They kind of are
small.
They're wheelbarrow tires.
Yes, you're right.
It's your typical rounded front two-horse trailer that we see all the time. However, the wheels are really far apart. Have you seen them that far apart before, except on a wagon?
I do think these are like wheelbarrow tires or baby buggy tires.
I think it was probably a wagon base that they then put a top on.
I think so.
Probably what it was.
Yeah. They had an old worn out one of those little meshy flatbed trailers that you get at the tractor
store. Like a little utility trailer.
Yeah, and that was old and rusty, and then they had an old rusty top to a horse trailer.
It does look like the top was
and they put it together.
They took a whole bunch of tin from the barn and made the top.
That is barn tin. Yes. Absolutely.
Because there's no windows, they're just holes where the windows are.
But they were trying to be stylish because they painted the bottom black and the top white.
Well, that's true. Yes.
You know, they made an effort.
Yeah. They did. I would so strongly suggest for $750, one, you don't buy it, and next, you don't put anything in it. That would be my suggestion. Yeah, suggestion, probably.
I don't even think I'd haul hay in that.
No, it looks a little homemade. I bet you there's no lights and the brakes don't work, is my guess.
I don't even think they have brakes.
And $750 is way over our allotted limit for bad trailers. So,
exactly.
Yeah.
It's right down the road, though, Glenn.
I know. We could go get this one. It'd be perfect. All right. Let's go to who's up next. Danielle. I don't think I have them all here. I think I'm missing one. Danielle, I do have, though, so let's play hers.
Hi, this is Danny Gregoire, and I'm calling in with a really bad ad. So here's the start of it. Okay, here's the deal. I have a coming 2-year-old filly. She's from 2 thoroughbreds, but papers haven't been established. She is not little. Now about her, she can be sweet, but is more like the Sour Patch Kid on TV. Sweet 1 minute, sour the next. She's not big on loading, but that is slowly being addressed. She halters, leads, good for farrier. She needs training. If I keep her until spring, she will go into training and price will increase significantly. PM for more info. And there's no picture of any horse.
I love these ads that threaten people. If I keep it, the price is going up.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. There's always that threat.
Yeah.
Yeah. Price and never goes up.
You wonder about people. I mean, if you were going to sell a horse, would you say that the horse is bad tempered? Or would you let them kind of figure it out for
themselves?
They're
extremely honest.
They are.
Yeah. This one's extremely honest.
You have to give them credit for that.
Yes. Do we have... Who did I just play there? I lost it.
That was Danielle.
Okay, I got Kelly next.
Okay.
This is a really bad ad from Minneapolis, Minnesota, Craigslist. Amazing kids horse, $3,200. That's all in caps and with an exclamation point. I just also want you to know that every sentence in this ad ends in an exclamation point, so I'll try to read it like that. Lily is extremely loving. 7-year-old registered mare, stands around 15 hands. She's an all-around horse from ranching and roping to working cattle and sale barns. She has recently started on heeling. What she has a gentle, quiet demeanor and only goes the pace you ask. Absolutely no buck or soundness problems. She has been patterned on barrels by my 7-year-old nephew and 8-year-old niece and goes slow enough for them to comprehend and learn. She would be a great horse for a young kid to grow with and potentially do rodeo events as she picks up speed when asked. She has a really nice neck rein and sliding stop. You don't like her, you don't own her. Contact and then the phone number.
No kidding.
Also, you have to show the first photo included with this ad.
Oh, Jennifer, what was the photo?
That's all I got.
Oh, the photos in this should be in the show notes.
I know. It's not there.
No, I don't see it.
It's been going around Facebook. It's the picture of the chestnut horse, and they took one of those programs, and they superimposed fire around him. It's crazy looking.
Gosh, I've seen that.
You've seen that, haven't you?
Yes. What I liked about it was a registered mare. Now I don't know about that breed of horse.
It's true. I didn't think about that till you just said that. Hey Jennifer, I don't have Allison, so while I'm playing Diane's,
I just emailed it to you again. So hopefully it shows up. Good.
I'll see if I got it here. I don't have it yet, so I don't know why. Oh, there it is. Okay, so I'll download that while we're playing. Next we have Diane.
Okay, happy 2018. I have a really bad ad. It's Diane from Ontario. Here it goes. Teddy is quarter horse Welsh cross Grulo Gledding lawnmower. 13 years, broke. Teddy stands at 14.2, not sticked. Well, I'm glad they didn't stick him. No health issues, easy keeper, and ready to roll. I don't know if that means... he likes to roll, or he's ready to go. Needs to be constant worked, if left can be a little silly. No buck, bolt, or rear. Teddy has been on Mullet Pal trail rides and ridden by different level of riders. Once on a couple trail rides and being ridden, he is good for beginners with supervision. So I guess they've tried that out, and they had beginners on him, and they would have to ride him several times before he's actually good with them.
Yeah, he bucked the first three
off.
As
of now, he needs a refresher. So not selling is beginner safe, even though it sounds like they might have had beginners on him. Sat all winter. Price and comments. Only selling due to downsizing, and he's too good to be left in the field, which is exactly what they've been doing with him. Anyway, that's my really bad ad. Bye.
Well done and well interpreted.
Yes. I loved her comments.
Yeah. And they were right on the money.
You know, whenever somebody says that, oh, they're downsizing, you know, I want the horses that they're going to keep. I don't want the horses that they're going to give them.
That is true. You know, they're not selling the good one.
No.
I love how they really were trying to convince you that this one was beginner safe, and then the next sentence it wasn't, and then it was, and then it wasn't, and then it was, and then it wasn't.
Yeah, they were kind of bipolar about it.
Yeah.
Hedging their bets.
Yeah, that's
hedging their bets.
There you go. Right. That was it.
It's beginner safe if your beginner is an experienced rider. It's perfect.
Yes, there you go.
Appealing to all types.
Yeah. If you ride them 3 or 4 times out on the trail for about 2 hours, you could put a beginner on and be fine.
Exactly.
Yeah. But in the meantime, the first three are going off. All right. Here is Allison. Jennifer says the last one is the best one. So here we see. We'll see.
Hi, this is Allison from Ontario, Canada, and this is my really bad ad. First off, there's a picture of two horses pulling a carriage or driving, and the title is Broke Black Geldings, $7,000.
Wow.
There's no punctuation in this, so I'll try my best. These horses are as broke as you're going to get. 12 years old and about 1,400 pounds, maybe a little heavier. They're Percheron quarter horse cross. If you want to hunt or you just want to have a party, these guys do it all. Please call or text anytime.
Thanks. Party Percheron.
I was going to say, yes.
I just had this vision of a bunch of Percherons out in the paddock having a party. They got the beer, the bar's there.
Yep, yep, yep. They're sitting down. They're just bringing that can up. And
having owned a couple of Percherons, it's going to be a mellow party. It's not going to be a frat boy party. So who has the frat boy party? What breed has the frat boy parties?
That was a Morgan. Wasn't that a Morgan?
Yeah, but I mean, if you're going to pick a breed that's having a frat boy party, what is it?
The breed that's having the frat boy party.
Is it Thoroughbred?
Morgan totally would be having a frat boy party.
Halflingers.
Oh, Halflingers.
You're right.
Those would be the Halflingers.
The Morgans would plan the party, and then the Halflingers would show up and really make it
and crash
awesome
the party.
They would crash, for sure.
They would crash the party.
Crashed everything.
And what breed of, what mares are there just having a good time? What breed is the mares there? The Arabs. Has to be the Arabs.
Chestnut mares.
That's right. Yep. They're the party girls. You know they're doing the kegs. They're doing everything. Yeah.
Yes. Yep,
they're dancing on the bar, taking their tops off. That's chestnut mares.
Chestnut mare. Yeah, we have one of those.
And you know, the little twerp who's at the party that's running around causing all the trouble is the Hackney Pony.
I was just going to say it's the Hackney Pony.
Yep. Yep.
That's Scooter. He's the one that's going around. He's knocking people's drinks over. And, you know, he just scoots away. He just causes the trouble, gets the fight started, and he's out the door.
Yeah,
he's the one with the fireworks that causes the police to be called.
That's right. There's always that guy that starts the fight and then ducks out the door. And the fight's just raging amongst everybody else, and he's gone. And that's Scooter. That's my pony.
I have to say, this is a true story. I had an Appaloosa mare who was like a Houdini, and she could let herself out of a locked box stall. And I watched her. I was in a boarding barn. She opened her door. She opened the door of three other horses, let them out. They all started fighting, and she went back into her stall and slammed the door.
Okay, that's funny. On that note, we're going to call it a week. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. We really appreciate it. Thank you, Lisa, for filling in so much here in the last month. We appreciate you.
It's always fun. I always have a great time.
And we know it's not easy. You're sleeping on the desk in the office there. you're homeless.
I actually have a bed in there. So.
You're home. I hope you find a place. I hope you find something to park outside that has heat that you can sleep in.
I will. I'm on a search.
We're feeling bad for you right now. So
I'm fine. Thank
okay,
you.
Good. Find something with air conditioning by summer. That's probably even worse for you.
That's
Liv.
It. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
And thank you to Jennifer, and thank you to, we never thank our guest wrangler, Denise, who puts all our guests together. Thank her for the guests this week. We appreciate that. She goes out and finds them. And that's it for, thank you for listening, everybody.
Happy weekend.
Yeah, don't forget you can find all of our shows now. I think they're counted, there's 17 on our app now, so go find those. If you haven't had a chance to listen to Jimmy and I's Finding Florida, you'll get a trippy. I don't care if you live in Florida or not, you're going to love it. It's just a lot of fun. We have a good time doing it.
It is.
There's a new one of those coming out here shortly as well. And we just discovered that we're getting a lot of help from the Key West Tourist Bureau. They've been emailing us in the last couple of days because one of our stops on the cruise is Key West. So we're going to record an episode there, and we're going to drag Jennifer around with us this time. So
That's cool.
We are doing all the signature things of Key West in one day. So drinks, pies, desserts, historical sites, sports. We're going to do it all in one day. And I think
you just lost me at drinks, pies, and desserts.
No, I know. We're going to try and do it. They're helping us set it all up. Apparently, we're going to meet the guy who runs what's the house there with the cats? Hemingway's house. So we're going to make a visit to the six toad cats, and you know that's kind of a staple there. And then, if I remember right, the lady with the rooster that goes skiing is also in Key West. So we got to meet the skiing rooster lady.
Oh yeah.
We're gonna have to do that. We definitely have to do that. So we're looking forward to a lot of fun. We're gonna record one while we're on the cruise, so that should be fun. And actually, Royal Caribbean reached out to us too, so we might do a couple interviews on the boat.
Oh, that'll be fun.
So, yeah, you know, doing podcasting allows for a lot of fun things. So,
yes,
that you wouldn't get to do normally. So that's one of the cool things about the job.
Exactly.
All right, everybody. We'll see you on Monday. Have a good weekend. Be safe.
Bye-bye, everyone.